Okay. Yes, thank you. Thank you. So we're looking at Siman Taf Nun Beis, which is the equivalent to page 89. It'll say Mem Hey on top because the 88 is on your right side. Now we still have to come back to finish up Taf Nun Aleph. But I think we'll do that on another day because since we're starting a new Siman with a new week, so we're up to Siman 452, Zman HaGolas Kalim. Now we're talking about Hagolah, and in the case of Hagolah, we want to remove the Tam Chametz HaBolua, if you use this kli, at least on one occasion, over the fire, meaning you cooked in a pot with Chametz in it. Let's say a porridge, you know, some sort of chametz sticker porridge. So the Mechaber writes, Yeshli hizoy lahagil kodim shoch hamishis. We have what's called the chumra of chametz. I'll try to explain, it'll take me a few minutes to just fill us in on this. Once chametz becomes asur, then we have two major chumras. One is called a mashahu, which means even if we go beyond the ratio of 1 to 60, you have, let's say, 1 to 70, nevertheless, it's asur. And this is a chumra derabbanan. The Rabbanan suspended the normal d'oraisa of bitul b'shishim because of the chumra of chametz. And that's, again, going to be after Shas Isuro. That's one chumra. And the second chumra in chametz is what's called no same tam lefgam, which means that even if I haven't used the kli in the last 24 hours, nevertheless, the tam is considered like it were a tam leshvach. Normally, after if it's what's called an ena ben yomo, and 24 hours have passed since the last use, it's a tam lefgam, which doesn't generate an iser. So when we hold tam ki ikur, that's only within the 24 hours of the last use of the pot. But in the case of chametz, even beyond the 24 hours, so I haven't used the pot for chametz in who knows how long, still we have a chumra that chametz is asur b'mashahu, even if it's no sin tam lefgam. So again, all this hopefully will become clear as we go along. I'm just mentioning it as a quick short form introduction. Therefore, the Mechaber writes, we have to be very careful to do the Hagolah before Shah Chamishis, which means the following, that even though according to Torah law, Chametz only becomes Asur midday with Chatzos, that's called Ach Chilek, but nevertheless, midrabbanan, chametz becomes asur from the beginning of the fifth hour. Now, although that is not a full-fledged iser chametz, it's only what you call an iser achila without an iser hanah, but nevertheless, it's still chametz as far as the chumras of chametz is concerned. So we're not going to wait into the fifth hour. So let's say, for example, on a perfect day, if Chatzos Achilik would be at 12 noon, the Shah Shishis will begin at 11 a.m. and the Shah Chamishis at 10 a.m. So the Hagolah should be done before 10 a.m. And why is that? Says the Mechaber, Kidei Shelo Yitztarech L'dagdeik Imakelim B'nei Yomon Olav. In other words, it works like this, that if you're doing Hagolah before Shah Chamishis, then you gain a great luxury. You don't have to ask yourself, when was the last time I used the Kli for Chametz? Even in the worst case scenario, let's say somebody used the Kli for Chametz within the last 24 hours, which would mean it's a Tam Lishvach. But it doesn't matter. Why? Because the premise of Hagolah is that in the water that's boiling for the purpose of Hagolah, before you dip the kli into it, it has shishim, it has 60 keneged the pot that you have this large vat, and you have a smaller kli which is chametz stick, and you want to kasher it, so you lower it down and dip it into the boiling hot water. There's going to be shishim in the larger vat kineged the blia in the smaller vat, and therefore, even in the worst case scenario, let's say the tam of chametz is a tam lishvach because it was used in fact within the last 24 hours. Nevertheless, it's already mutter through agola because the principle is that whatever is polate, whatever tam chametz is going to be niflat through the boiling water, that's going to be batel b'shishim. But that's only because it's before shasi suro, and therefore we don't have to worry about mashu, about the we can rely on bittel b'shishim. Okay then? So let's start the Mishnah Berurah here in Siman Tov Nun Beis. The Mishnah Berurah says, Tam lazeh, why is it, and this is not a pun when he uses the word tam here, but why is it that the Mechaber is very makpid that you should be magi'il your kelim before the fifth hour, before 10 a.m. in the morning on Erev Pesach? What is the mechanism, the halachic mechanism of hagolah? How does it work? The resichas hamayim motzias habolua bekli. That when the water in the larger vat is boiling, that's going to remove any tam bolua, any tam that's absorbed in the walls of the kli. Abel yesh lochush, we still have to be careful. Even after the water is boiled up and it removes the tam that's bolua, yachzor v'yibole b'kli mashapolta. It might go back into the kli. Why? Because whenever you're cooking, the tam that's in the water is going to go into the walls of the kli. So you got the tam of the chametz out, that's called plato. And what was polate is now in the larger vat, but the kli is still submerged for a few seconds into the larger vat. So the kli now is chozer bolea, the tam that was niflad of the chametz is now in the water. And now, because the fire is still burning underneath this pot, what's going to happen is the water that has now a bli of chametz is going to be nivla back into the walls of the
meat in kalim, where you've got two pieces of meat and the juice from the one meat could be absorbed by the other piece of meat. It's the same thing with the water and the two, you know, kalim, one big kalim and this one small kalim.
So the truth is that, you know, in the light of this point, you've really undermined the whole enterprise of Hagolah, because you can ask this question about every Hagolah. If the whole purpose of Hagolah is to be maflit the tam balua, and now you're going to say it goes back from the mayim into the kli, so what did you gain? The answer is because it's a kli she'eno ben yomo. Mibnei chashash zeh, kosu ha-poskim, de'ein lahagil rak kli she'eno ben yomo. So any kli that's being subjected to hagol is already an ein ben yom. It hasn't been used in the last 24 hours, the oz. Then even in the worst case scenario, if the tam from the kli, the smaller kli, goes into the mayim of the larger vat, the oz afim yivla mashepolat, even if now the smaller kli is going to be bolea that tam, hare lefgamu, it's already a tam lefgamu because it's an ein ben yom. Alternatively, I have another solution. What's my other solution? Even if I assume it would be a kli ben yomo, and even if I assume the tam balua that comes now is niflat into the larger vat is a tam lishvach, nevertheless, yeh b'mayim shishim levatel pleitas ha'isur. Now you have 60 times in the vat of which you're doing that goal, you have a volume of boiling water that has 60 kinegin the plate of the isur. So it's already bottled in the Mayan. So we have two solutions to that really basically underlie the whole enterprise of Hagolah. The first solution is, and this is the one with 99% of the cases we're going to rely on, is that the kli that you're being magil, that you're kashering, has not been used in the last 24 hours. So even in the worst case scenario, the tam that goes from the kli and is polate into the water is the tam lefgam. And not only that, But on top, I have another kula that I can rely on. That the tam, immediately when it goes out of the walls of the kli into the mayim, is already bottled because the shishim and the mayim can negate the kli. Again, we would rather not rely on that because, you know, to try to figure out, you know, exactly what the volume of the water is in the larger vat, and there's a shishim. We don't know. Again, in silverware, that's a little bit easier, but if you're putting a pot into a pot, so we'd rather rely on the fact that we don't have a minhag of doing hagolah on a kli ben yoma. We're always going to insist it's a kli sheina ben yoma. Al zeka omar ha-machaber. Here the machaber makes his point. The im magil kodim shachamishis. If he's going to do the hagolah before the fifth hour, ain't tzarich lizor b'chol zeh. He doesn't have to get all uptight about this. Why? Mishum da'oz harei u'adayin zman heter chometz. Vahavile no saint tam bar no saint tam de hetera. Okay, now this is a little bit complicated. Chometz the whole year round is heter. So that the heter went from the chometz into the walls of the kli when you cook during the course of the year. You cook your porridge in this pot. And now the tam balua is what's called no saint tam bar no saint tam de hetera. In other words, it goes from the chametz into the walls of the kli, and from the walls of the kli, it's going to go into the water in the larger vat. That's called no saint tam bar no saint tam, and everything is still mutter. That's again before shas isur chametz. So if I do hagolah on my kli a week before Pesach, a day before Pesach, whatever it is, it's before the shal chamishis, before the zman isur chametz, then the tam that's the tam of chometz that's inside the water is going to be a not bar not de hetera because there's no isur chometz in this point. Dahainu, hatam shel chometz. Now tam here means the taste, not the reason. Hatam shel chometz shekibu akelim itchila hayishal heter. When you cook the porridge during the course of the year in this pot, that was the tam of heter. Hatam shel amayim shekibu atam and akelim. Now you take this kli, which is a chometz sticker kli, you submerge it in the boiling hot water of the vat. Whatever tam in the smaller kli that now is niflat and goes into the water of the larger kli is a not bar not de hetera. So let's go over it again. Now the water in the larger vat is receiving that tam, which is because of it's being polled. Shekibla atem nakelim gamkein that teiras. It still remains heter. Umasha chosu v'nosu v'kelus. And now in the third level, you're worried about the fact that the tam of chometz that's in the water goes back into the smaller kli. Gamkein that teiru. Everything is considered heter, and if we don't have to worry about it, so we can certainly rely on this hagola. After shas isur, we're in trouble because after shas isur, we now have what's called a not bar not de isura. In other words, when you take out the tam of the chometz through the hagola process, and it now it's injected, so to speak, it's suffused in the mayim of the larger vat. That's already a no saint tam de isura. And if it's a no saint tam de isura, we're going to have to be very careful, and we're going to have to add one of two things. We're going to have to talk about no saint tam lefgam. In a case where you haven't used the kli in the last 24 hours, you're going to have to talk about shishim. You have to be absolutely convinced that there's 60 times in the water against the tam balu and the kli. And if you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah number Beis, he says kodem shoach hamishis. He says mitchilas hamishis, from the beginning of the fifth hour. Kevan shenesar al kol poter midrabbanan sulo mikri no sing tam bar no sing tam de hetera. In other words, the normal fundamental principle that underlies hagolah, the mechanics of hagolah, namely no sing tam lufgam de hetera, is not going to help you after the tchilas hachamishis, because that tam itself becomes a tam chometz. Even though the Mishnah Berurah admits it's only midrabbanan, because chometz doesn't become awesome in the rice until the beginning of Shosh Shvias, the seventh hour, but I'll call part of nevertheless it's osim rabbanon, and once it's osim rabbanon, we call it a tama di isura, and it's no different than nevela. Again, nevela is a tama isur, even though it's mutavad noch. but nevertheless it doesn't matter. As far as achilu is concerned, it's a tam de isur, and we apply the principle of no sing tam bar no sing tam de isura. And now the chametz becomes no sing tam bar no sing tam de isura from the beginning of the fifth hour. The only problem that we have, and we believe that we're going to address this problem later on, is that it only became an Isur Chametz in a state of Belua. In other words, it wasn't that when he cooked Chametz in this pot, Chametz was Asur. He didn't cook after the fifth hour. He cooked way before that. Somehow, magically, the Chametz, the Tam Chametz, becomes a Tam Isur, even in the state of Belua. And that again is another chumrah of chametz, because normally we say that a tam balua doesn't transform into a tam isur if initially it was a tam balua. So take a look now in the Mishnah Berurah number Gimel, and he says the following. If you look at the mechaber, he says v'cheinim magil kelim shebliyosam u'etas and kelim shebliyosam u'ruba. He's worried about the fact that you're doing many kelim one after the other in one large vat. So imagine what happens is if you have a kli that's larger, it means the blia is a blia maruba, and there's, like, relatively speaking, a massive amount of tam chametz in that larger kli, and now that chametz is polate, is niflat in the water because of the hot boiling water, and now you have a massive volume of chametz and blias chametz that enters and penetrates into the water. Now you're going to put into this vat a small kli shebliyos and muetas. Well, it's going to now absorb a massive amount of chametz. So let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah number Gimel. He says shebliyos and muetas kigon, for example, kapos, kosos, imkiaros, ukideros. So I give you the example of two different sized pots. One's a larger vat and the other's a small one. He's giving you examples of a pot and spoons and glasses. He says, yesh lochush, the akash yigmu lahafrit es bliosam amuetes, yachzu v'yudlu mitletas kelim acherim, shebliosam meruba. If you do the agola after the fifth hour, now what happens is a tam of chametz that comes in from the larger kinderos into the water, and now you're going to place a spoon into that water to be magilit. The spoon is going to be bolea all the chametz that was niflat from the larger vat. Avol konim shachamishis, if on the other hand he implements the process of Hagdola before chametz became also du kulo heter, is ein lochash afilu im yivlu. Even in the worst case scenario, you'll tell me that there was a massive, serious amount of chametz that was niflat from the larger kelim into the vat. Doesn't matter, because when that chametz on niflat goes back into the small kelim, let's say it goes into the spoons or the glasses, havi no sein bar no sein tam latera.
Is it glasses or is it cups? Glasses, you don't do that way. Don't you do them just in plain water and let them soak for 24 hours?
Right. We're not entering into that question. We're going to have a long discussion about what materials lend themselves to Hagola. The word kosos is a generic term for anything that has it's a smaller receptacle as opposed to kadera, which is a larger receptacle. And now when you put these kosos into the same exact vat where you previously put in a kadera, so the kadera has a relative to this kos has a tremendous amount of chametz balua, and now through the process of the boiling water, the chametz balua is niflat. Now it goes back into the kosos. Now, since Mel, you mentioned the question of glass, I'm just going to point this out. We're going to have a whole discussion about glass at a different occasion. There may be a difference between the glass at the time of Chazal and the glass that we have. We have, actually, I think the technology was developed in France. There's something called Pyrex. There are other types of glass that are very, very hard glass. And although there are different minhagim, you know, Sfarim are a little bit more mekil, Ashkenazim are a little bit more machmer in this issue, but there are types of glasses that you do subject to Hagola. For example, plastic normally at the time of Chazal was not subject to Hagola, but today we have very hard plastics that are subject to Hagola. And although we're more machmir about this, but if need be, we can rely. Now, in a classic kind of glass, I'm not talking about Pyrex and the like. So I remember in my youth, we had something called yardside glasses, right? And we it was an avera to throw out a yardside glass. So that was the way.
It wasn't only for the yardside candle, it was the yardside glass I'm talking about.
You know, my parents used to say, it's an avera to throw it out. That was the European way.
We had a whole match set of that stuff at home.
Yeah, that's right. So what we used to do in our day was something called shriya, if you're familiar with it. So we would fill up a bathtub with cold water, and then we place the glass in the water. The glass had to be cleaned, thoroughly cleaned beforehand, and we would allow it for 24 hours, and then after 24 hours we would empty out the water and again fill it up, and we did this three times for a total of 72 hours. That was called Shriya. Today, however, we have this problem of glass where, you know, the reality has changed, and therefore glass does need more serious Hagola. Again, whether Hagola could work for this kind of Pyrex and so forth is an issue. That's much less on a lower level. That's assuming that glass is not bolea. So if glass is not bolea, I don't need Hagola. If I don't need Hagola, I just do shriya. We have a similar thing in knives, that sometimes if you cut something with a knife and you don't use it on hot chametz, let's say you only use it to cut cold bread, so you need something called ne'itza b'karka. That's also a lower level than Hagola. So we have different things for that. Let's take a look at the Mechaber on the third line from the top. He says, V'chein in Masha ha'kele b'tocha yor yosem midai v'eino Masha osam kol kach v'chein k'deish lo yitztarach lizar shal yinuach ha'mayim mirisichosam. He says there are all sorts of other phobias that we have with regard to Hechsher Kalim if we wait until after the fifth hour. One of them is we're afraid there'll be Masha Kalim Besocha Yor Yosem Midai. Or the opposite, he won't be Masha in him long enough. Let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, he amplifies. He says, Ratzalomer, Im Magil Kli Isur Lachshiro, O Kli Chometz Liachar Zman Isuro, Tzorach Ledagdeg, Shelo yisho som harbe b'mayim. So again, the whole issue that we mentioned before, we're not 100% sure that there's 60 in the water against the tam bolua and the kli isur. So if chametz is now being subjected to hagola after shas isuro, it's like a kli that was used for nevela, which is obviously asur. Then we're afraid that the tam of the tam bolua in the walls of the kli that had nevela in it now is saturated into the water, and it'll go back into the kli. And then we have to ask ourselves: well, is it ben yomo? Is it osik tam livka? Is it shishim? And if it's batel and shishim, all these issues have to be addressed. And in the case of chametz, if you're going to do the hagola after zman isuro, all of this has to be addressed, and you're going to have to guarantee yourself that it wasn't used in the last 24 hours, that you have shishim. The gam shalol hashel sosom klal. He says, what happens if you put the kli inside the hot water, the vat that's holding the boiling hot water, and you don't leave it at all? You don't give it a second. Elahotzio tekef gam kinen nochon. That's also not the way of doing hagola. The tzarach lishos mi'at. He doesn't tell you exactly how much ma'at is, but you have to leave it in for 2 seconds. The process of plato takes a few seconds. We don't know exactly how long of a process that is, so you don't want to leave it in too long, because then it's going to be olay again what it was polay. On the other hand, you don't want to leave it in too short, because then it was polay and wasn't. Then it was nivla originally, but it wasn't polay. Some kodim zmani suro. He says all this is a problem before the Zman Isuro. It's not a problem before Isar Isuro. He obviates all these problems because, as we said before, it's no Saint Tam bar no Saint Tam Dehetero. Ain't no talk with Samtem Yochol Lahashos Yoser Bamayim. He can leave it in, and even if it'll be Bole again, it's no Saint Tam bar no Saint Tam. in Magal Osom Lachar Zman Yisur Danim Yishol Chamish Ber Pesach Ado Erev O Bialma Bekli Yisur. The same thing would apply if you used it for non-kosher food. Tzorch Ledag Nishia Kli Eno Ben Yomo O Shia B'mayim Shishim Lovatel Abliya. You have only one of two options to solve this mechanical problem, the engineering of the tom going into the water and then going back in. And either you apply the principle of Veinu Ben Yomo if you're absolutely sure that you haven't used the kli in the last 24 hours, or if you're not absolutely sure, you have to be absolutely sure that the shishim in the mayim in the large bath can neged the blia in the kli. Because even if it goes back in, it's going to be an osin tamlo gam, or it's bottle in the shisha. So in the Sech Rabosai, although we're learning Hilchas Pesach, we've really learned a lot here about Yoredea in Hilchas Isur Beheter and Hefshir Kelim in general, way beyond the confines of Pesach. Here's the difference. That in the case of a kli isur that was bolei nevela, you always have to be makpid that in order to do agol, you have to make sure it's not a ben yomo, or that the shishim in the mayim can neged the blia. In the case of chometz, you actually have a safety latch over here. You have the safety hatch, and that is that if you subject the kli to agol before the shas isur, then you don't need to be makpid that a. It's an Ein Ben Yomo, B, that the Shishim connected the plate, because you're talking about no Sin Tam Bar, no Sin Tam Lehen Teiru. Now, I just wanted to point out to you, as you all know, there is a minog that if you want to change the nature of the Kli from Milchix to Fleshix, you could do it on. When I say Erev Pesach, I don't mean Erev Pesach literally. I mean to say together with the Hagola for Pesach. So let's say, for example, I have a fleishik pot, and I've used it, you know, with fleishiks in noodles or other types of chametz, and now being magalit for Pesach, let's say a week or a day before Pesach, I can change the gender of the kli, so to speak, and use it for milchiks. Now keep in mind that here we're talking about Shari Isurim. We're no longer talking about Chometz. So you and I might say, well, we have to again be makpid that it hasn't been used in the last 24 hours for this Fleshik of Chometz cooking. Or alternatively, we have to make sure, which we're not always sure, that the Shishim and the Mayim against the Blia. So the answer is that that's also not a problem, because that's also called Heter Bola, right? Because Fleshix itself is heter, or milchix in the opposite direction is heterabola. And therefore, even if we're worried that the plato will go back in and be nivla shuv, it's no saint tam bar, no saint tam de heter. Now, the Mechaber was also worried about something else. He says, Kadesh lo yitzarech lizor shalo yanuach hamayim mirasi chosan. What does he mean by that? So we're going to try to figure this out with the Mishnah Berurah's help. He says, Ratzaloma, this is about four lines up from the bottom in Sifkot and Hay, he says, the chols manchem roschim tride lemiflet velo bole mimea golok shenanuchu mirsichosam bole. Okay. So we have a principle in Yoredea, it's a Gemara in Chulin, that goes the following. I'll just read the principle to you and try to explain it. Aidi detori lemiflat lo bole. That when a kli, or for that matter a hot food stuff, is busy being poleed, it doesn't have the freedom, so to speak, the free time to be bolea. In other words, blia and plita are two opposite activities, pu'ulot, right? One is you're busy giving off your blia and spitting it out, and the other is you're busy taking a blia from the outside in. You can't be doing both at the same time. That's the principle of ivi detari lift to tridi liflot lo bali. It's in the Gemara Chulin, I don't know, Kufiud, wherever it is over there. So here's what the Mechaber is worried about. He's worried about the tam of the chametz going into the water and then going back into the kli. Well, that really shouldn't be a problem at all, because I need the Torah lemiflat lo bali, when the kli is busy spitting forth its tam into the water that's being polled, it doesn't have the ability to be bolea. But the answer is, if he leaves the kli in too long, then the plate of process is already completed, and now the kli is free to be bolea. So that's called yadiach hamayim yirsichoso. As long as the water is absolutely boiling, then the smaller vat going into the larger vat is being polled. But as soon as the water cools down a little, because there's a certain physics that when you put a cold kli into hot water, the water cools off. A metal kli that's cold, it cools off the water. So the water's not boiling, you know, with the bubbles going up for a very long time. And if you leave the kli just one fraction of a second too long, if the keli is nach mirisichaso, in other words, for one moment it arrests the process of being boiling, at that point, the kli itself, the smaller vessel, can now be choser and bolea. So on the one hand, again, you know, you're really walking what we call a tightrope, a very thin slice of time. You got to leave the kli long enough that it can be polled, but not too long, because if you leave it too long, it'll start being bolea again back. And all this is a problem if you're doing agolas kelim after shasi surah. But if you are being magil the kli before shasi surah, then you avoid all those issues as well. Because again, even if you left the kli in a little bit too long, and after the process of plate completed, the bleah will only be no same time by no same time deity.
So you'd avoid the problem totally if you did your kli 24 hours before the...
Not even 24 hours. I mean, no. For my part, you could wake up... Oh, wait a second, say it again, 24 hours before?
Before the sixth hour, you know, when...
When Chatzis comes also?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so that... Right. So here's the deal. If you do that gola early on Erev Pesach, let's say at 9 a.m., and that's Shah Revius, then it's not chometz at all. What do I mean? It's pure heter at that point. An hour later, it becomes chometz at Shah Chamishas. So you don't even have to wait, you know, 24 hours before. Again, I would recommend that you start early. You know, don't wait till 9 o'clock on Erev Pesach when you're busy with a lot of different things. But you know, in my neighborhood, for example, and I assume it's true all over the world, they have public Hagolah. I don't know if you've seen.
Yes, they have public Hagolah.
Excellent. So, for example, on Rehov Sholzen, that's where I live, they have this vat that's humongous. It's like this size. And what they do is they heat up overnight. They have a brenner, you know, that heats up with fire, so that when you come by the next morning, the water is boiling hot. And then they cover it with a lid cover so that the heat stays within. And then when you're ready, again, you got to pay for this, you get your turn, you give them the kli, they lift up the, you know, the lid, and then they submerge the kli into the water. That you might do at 9 a.m., but probably at a certain point, these guys are going to close shop, because there's a whole process till they cool off the water, till they can take all that.
I still think doing it a day before is...
I'm just saying that in today's contemporary life, where they make everything into an official institution, you could theoretically, you know, get away with Hagolah at 9 a.m. on Erev Pesach and on your way back from the mikveh. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to spend too much time. So even though Erev Pesach is one of the most busiest days in the halachic universe, but there is still room for Hagolah early on Erev Pesach. So I don't want to impose any extra chumras, but again, if you can do the Agola earlier, ma tov ma noyim, why should you wait till the last minute? Take a look at the Ramah. He says, Rabim Cholkim, this is the last line on the top, Rabim Cholkim, usvirlu di ein Agola moelis klum, im ein bamayim haroschim, and here we turn to page 90, So So the Rambam wants to introduce a chumrah over here that would apply even kodim shas yisurim. The Mechaber says you've solved all your issues kodim zman yisurim. Once you're doing the agola at 9 a.m. or the day before, shalom al yisurim. You can rest assured and you have no problem. But here the Rambam is machmir. The Rambam quotes another opinion. And if you take a look in the Mishnah Berurah, he writes three lines up from the bottom of the page, Achronim yisigu al Rambam. And the Rambam wants to say that there's a chumra here. The gavdas ha-mechaber kenu di'ena golem oels el b'shosh ha-mayim roschen. Now, what's happening is the following. Let's imagine that you're doing hagol on more than one kli. That's the classic, that's the general, you know, because to go through the whole hassle of heating up the water and so forth for one single kli.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, again, back in the culture when they were very poor and they desperately needed a kli, it was shayach. Thus, ken zayin, you know. But today, usually what you have is a whole bunch of kelim that you... So the problem is, and that's what the Mechaber is worried about, that at some point, after you put in a number of kelim because of the coldness of the metal going into this hot fat, it's going to cool off. And therefore... The Mechaber is very, very well aware of this problem. He knows that you're going to, every single kli requires that you check scrupulously to guarantee that the water is boiling before you get to the next kli and put it in. Because if it's nachmir sichoso, then the whole process of pleita, which is the essence of hagola, will not take place. And that, therefore, the
don't they keep a stone inside or a brick inside to increase the heat a little bit?
Not really. I'll tell you, Mel, what you're thinking of is the following. If you have a kli that's too large, remember we discussed this, you know, you have a surface area on a table and you can't put it into the water, or you have a kli that's so large you won't be able to be magulit. So then in those cases, what they do is they allow you through what's called an Evan Melubenis to continue the process of heating, but that's only for a few seconds. As soon as the Evan lands inside the pot, basically, you assume that it cools off. And when we used to, let's say, kasher counters, what we had to do was we had to hold on to this metal bar, and then someone would pour boiling hot water on the end of the metal bar, and we would go step by step, you know, from one corner and make sure that every corner of the table was covered. But in order to do that, we had to make sure that when the water hit the metal, it would immediately, I wouldn't say cause sparks to fly, but you would see the sizzling nature of the water. And that meant that the metal was still very hot. And generally speaking, after we completed one table, we would take the metal and put it back into the hot fire. So in this case, when we're talking about Hagola, and again, to use the phrase, noch mirisichoso, that if he waits too long, what's going to happen is that the water in the larger vat that you're kashering in is going to settle down, and it's no longer bubbling, then the Ramah is falsely accusing the Mechaber of not being aware of that problem. But he says the Achronim say that the Rambam is incorrect. And even the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch is well aware of the fact that Ein Hagola Mo'eles, you know, if you had to underline anything, again, this is not your Mishnah Berurah, so you can't do that, but if you had to underline something, it would be those seven words. Ein Hagola Mo'eles Ela B'Shosh Shamayim Roschen. And people forget this sometimes, you know. And if you have, you know, institutional hagola, people forget that before you put a kli inside, you have to make sure and guarantee that the water is absolutely boiling. El dekasev de liachas mani suro osel hashas akelim liachas yenuch hamayim resichos. All the Mechaber was pointing out is that you have to worry about leaving the kli. I'm talking about the smaller kli that's going in to be mach. To machshir, leaving it in the large vat too long. Because if you leave it into the large vat too long, it's going to cool off, and then it's going to be bolea from the water itself. And that's going to happen after Zman Yisuro. You want to avoid that at all costs. If you did it Kodem Zman Yisuro, then again, as we said over and over again, that's not a problem. Im Eina Mayim Roskun Rotzolomar Afilu Shayad Soledispo. Okay, this is a kula of many poskim, we don't generally rely on this this kula, that as long as the mayim is what's called yad soletispo, which means that you see the vapors coming up from the water, you can still do hagol in the water. We generally don't rely on those poskim. We require that the bubbles coming up. Here we're turning again to page 90. Resicha eino maflitin. In other words, for the water to remove the tam that's balu in the smaller kli, for the water in the larger vat to do so, you need what's called roschim. And roschim here, in the way we understand it, means that the bubbles of the boiling water are visible to the naked eye. Now again, going back to the Ramon, the top of page 90, and then we'll see the Mishnah Berurah number Ches. He says, "Al kein yeshli hizoyer." We have to be very careful. Afilu kodem zman isuro shelo yanuchim sichasam kol zman shemagil. And again, this is an absolute rule that applies to Hagolah, no matter what situation you're dealing with, whether you're milking some fleishiks, whether it's nevela and treifa, whether it's chometz, kodem zman isuro, liachar zman isuro. It's irrelevant. This is the universal fundamental requirement that you cannot be magil a kli unless it's lo nach mirisichoso. And that's what the Mishnah points out. The larger vat that's being used for Agola, kol shah lahagil, every moment that you're using it for Agola, tanuach hamayim mirisichoso, it's got to be continuous resicha kol zman shaholech. The also cliche yaniach ba achar shenoch hamayim ena olulah agola im lo shiyasha kliva zad shiyachsav yatiach hamayim. Oh, he has a cooler here that if the water cooled off, then he can heat up the water even when the kli that needs agola is still inside the water. Vehine teva hamayim, it's the nature of the water. Dinaichi mirsichosak shmachlisu bakelum tzonenim lagilo, as we said before. These metal pots are cold pots and they cool off the water. Okay, so for hamtu b'chol kli, between one kli and the other, make sure you wait a long enough time. Achi yala mayim ababuo. So here's where he changes the lingo. Instead of using the terminology of yad soletispo, which is resicha, then he calls it ababuos. Those are the bubbles. You know, you have to make sure that the bubbles are on top of the water. That's what we said before. People are not careful about this. You gotta, you know, he says you gotta warn the people. They're very laid back about this, and they're not serious enough about it. They're in a rush. They want to do one kli after another, and this requires extra effort to make sure and guarantee that the ababuos are coming up before you put in any kli.
How big do these bubbles have to be? Is there?
No, as long as you see any size of bubbles, no shear in the bubbles. Yeah.
Well, that's yeah. Boiling process.
Yeah. Well, when you're buying something for your grandchildren, you have to make sure the bubbles are very big. You know, right. Those, you know, those things, what do they call those things that you blow bubbles? You know,
right.
But in this context, we don't have to be mad. Eshel l'mad alem schus ki ein derech lahagil rakaro sukapo shishtam shalei de'arir u'basem ani agol v'mayim shayad soledes ben bilvad. He says the following. There are kelim that are only used al yidei iri. Do you remember we discussed this? Mel, you were with me. Iri means that you pour hot water over them, or you put them into a kli that has hot water in it, like a spoon, for example. You use a spoon for tea. But the spoon is never, it's a small spoon, so it's never used with this ash coming up from the bottom. Again, there are larger spoons that you use to stir even when it's on the pot is on the fire. So he's saying that most people, when they do Hagolah, they do Hagolah on silverware. He gives another example of ka'aros. Ka'aros are bowls that are used, let's say, for eating cereal or something of the look. They're never on top of the fire. And therefore, their contact with chametz is only through iruin, right? Through pouring hot water. And there you can use for Hagolah, mayim shayad soles. And remember, we saw on the previous page that the Mishnah Berurah was talking about Yad Soles, man, very, very hot water. He says very hot water is enough for Hagola of Irui. It's not really Hagola. I use the word Hagola. That's a borrowed term. The word Hagola, trust me, means technically that there's a fire going on and the bubbles are coming up. But he says that there's a fallback position which is called Yad Soledes Mahem, and that operates and that is effective for Irui Kli Rishon, for those Kelim that only come in contact with Irui Kli Rishon.
It's in a sense a Kabbalah Kach Polto. And that's how it got
also Kabbalah Kach Polto. But if he would wait and it goes down to Yad Soledes Mahem and he puts in it a Kli that was used on the fire, that's not going to operate. Yeah. That's not going to be meaningful.
That's not going to be, yeah.
Achen, therefore, he says, "Bekederos nechoshes udvar shetashmish al yedei kli rishon." He says that if you're talking about metal kalim that are used on the fire, and now you put it into water that's yad soledes bo, but it's not babuos, there are no bubbles coming up. Nira dafilu b'di'evet lo mahani agulazu b'tzorch lachzor lahagil. We're not going to rely on yad soledes bo. We need babuos. And you're going to have to do another Hagolah, my friend. The first Hagolah is meaningless, or is it meaningless? He says, Achlin yin leser ha-machal ishtabish v'pesem istapik ha-prima god v'nira de'imu eno ben yomo me'es shen ishtabish bo chomeis yesh l'tzadeh lo'hokel. This is amazing. I mean, what's happening here in this little brackets, you can probably research this for hours and hours. And what he's saying is that there's a prima godin who says that if you were magil a kli, again, we're talking about a kli that was used for chometz over the fire on a boiling hot pot of parut, and therefore you need that the water of the agola be ababuos, right? Man shiyalu ababuos. And there are no ababuos, it's just yad soledes bo, says the prima godin, if you use that kli, which was not really subject to a kosher hechsher, if you pardon the pun, and the agola was not kosher. Nevertheless, he says, if you used it, you're allowed to eat the product of that. Although the prima godin he's not willing to come to a definite answer. It's just a suffer. And the Mishnah Berurah wants to build stand on the shoulders of the prima godin. He says that if the kli was not used for chametz in the last 24 hours, then we're going to rely b'shasat chak on this yad soledes bo quasi agola, and if you, again, you have to do another agola, but if you cooked in this, you know, some Pesach of food, b'di'evet, we're going to allow you to eat that food on Pesach. We're not going to assume that the agola was meaningless. We're going to fall back on this agola. Again, it's hard for me to use the word agola. It's like sticking to my... to my palate here, because Yad Soledes Bo is not Agola, but we're going to rely on that in the case of an Eino Ben Yomo. Because again, we said that Chometz for Pesach has a Chumra that no Sein Tam Lefkav is Asur, but that Chumra is only on a Drabbanan level. If we combine that with the fact that there are those who possibly would recognize the validity of this so-called quasi-Agola, and therefore the Ochel B'di'evet is Mutter. Now let's just make sure that I got this right. Are we talking about before Pesach or after Pesach? After Shas Yisroel. Just 1 second, give me a minute. Chos Mish Magil. Nirudim Einu Ben Yomo. What is he talking about? Is he talking even after Shas? I don't think he's talking after Shas Yisroel. But it's not clear here in the text. Just 1 second. You can't let it cool off. And if it cools off and there are no ababuos, then we have this problem. Fine. But Linyan Isra Machol. I'm not sure. I don't know. This is a little bit baffling. Again, this is Mishnah Berurah number Ches. Let's go back up to the Mechaber. Can you use Afilu Kodim Zman Isur? Shalo Yoniat Mir Sichoso. I'm tempted to think that the entire paragraph here, which is a long presentation in the Mishnah Berurah Ches, is all going on the words Konim Zman
Isur.
Konim Zman Shem, I'm sorry, just 1 second. Konim Zman Shem Magil. Then, and it goes back. You see, it's a little tricky because the letter Ches is towards the end of the Ramah's comment. But if you don't mind for a split second, let's take the Ches and with a crane, we'll drop it down a little bit earlier to the words Afilu Kodem Zman Isuro. And on this, he's going to discuss the question of Lo Yanuach Mir Sichoso. What happens if it was Nach Mir Sichoso? And he's doing the Agola Kodem Zman Isuro, and he has nothing more than Yad Soletis Bo. So now he's talking about Erev Pesach, and he's talking about Kodem Zman Isuro. Let's go through this. If it's Li'achar Zman Isuro, then we said that it's a Tam Isur Bolua, and that Tam is going to be also even in an Eino Ben Yomo. But now he's saying if it's an Eino Ben Yomo, and you use the Kli, and the original Hagola was Biyad Soletis Bo, then B'dievet you can eat the food if the Kli itself was an Eino Ben Yomo. So I think he's talking about Kodem Zman Isur. I can't take a Shvuah Doraisa on this.
Because the next test goes when it's Ezach Zman. So when he brings the next in, he's saying...
All right, let's read Tess. Let's see. First of all, let's read the Mechaber so we know where Tess is going on. V'shalo yachnis hakelim ad she'arsichu amayim. Okay, so that's what we said before. The Achronim point out that even the Mechaber is very insistent that you have to have mayim roskim, sha'olim ababuos, we said. Ratzalomar, di im magil li'acharzman isur, ein nochel lahachnis hakli kodem she'arsichu amayim. Oh, he's talking about something else, Osher. He wants to know that. Remember, we had a kula before that if, let's say, when you the moment at the split second that you dipped the kli into the water, it was not hot enough, right? The water was not avavus, but he allowed you to leave it inside,
right? So he's saying,
and he's saying that
you can't do that with the, if it's after zman.
Is eino nochon lahachnas hakli kodeshes in the not sheyishu b'sochat sheyasichu. Okay, he's going to explain why. But he says that kpeda, you know, that we have to be very careful about not allowing the kli to go in when there's no resichus and stay in there until after the resichus. That
is achar zman.
That chumra applies the achar zman. But I think it's a new paragraph. I don't know if that would indicate that before he's talking about kodem zman isur. But again, my intuition is that the previous paragraph Ches is talking kodem zman isur. And he says, "Mitam shelo yivla oz mimei hagolos sheish men plitas hakelim." Notice he's done a number of hagolos before. Now it cools off. He puts in the kli, and now he wants to wait till the water gets hot. But at this moment, because it's hot water, it's not boiling hot water, but it's hot enough water that it's being boleh at the time. And this is after zman isur, so it's a case of blias tam isur. The after liachir kach shear sicha mayim yaflid gam ablia. Oh, he asks himself a lovdish question. He says, "Okay, what are you going to tell me that it was bolea before the water got hot enough? Okay, but now that the water is hot enough, it'll be again be pole. So whatever it was bolea, it's going to be pole. Mikom kom lechatchila ein k'day lahosif ba blias chametz." He's saying that if the kli goes into the water when it's not that hot, it's not. We don't want to expand the volume of Belias Chametz before the plate.
Right.
I don't know why, but what aver is that? I don't know. Magil Kodem Zman Isuro Ein Lochus Lezer. We don't have that problem. It's already a tam heter. Okay, let's just see if we can finish up the next Mishnah Berurah number Yud, and then I'll let you go. He says, "Kadesh leitzach lahagil ayora gedolish and magil ba betchilav asof." We have a minog according to the Mechaber that we do hagola on the yora gedola. Now, again, first of all, let's point out that you only have to do hagola on the yora gedola if you need it for Pesach. If you don't need it for Pesach, just lock it up in a closet. There's no problem. You don't need hagola. But let's assume he's going to use the larger vat during Pesach. So at the end of the whole process of Hagol, you have to be magil the larger pot. Ratzal lomar, let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. The im yagil li achaz man isur. If this Hagol process is taking place after the fifth hour, tzorch lahagil mitchila yoresh magil ba kelim. In other words, the larger vat has a bli of chametz in it, and it's liachers man isuro. So that bli is the bli as isur. So the first thing you have to do, even before you kick off the whole process,
you have to do on the big vat.
How are you going to do that?
With the stove,
maybe the stove, whatever it is. But it's that slow portion. You know, that's like the, you know, if you remember back in the stone, he wasn't excited about the stone. You know.
Yeah.
He says, "V'yishpoch mea gola l'chutz." Oh my goodness! He wants you to get rid of all the water that's inside the mea gola. This is at the end of the gola process. V'yatiyapa mayim acherim. Now refill it. I mean, my gosh, this is an undertaking. V'yachdus v'topus akelim shemiyot lo yagila mitchila re'amayim shemiyorin esorim
achasayora.
It's such a large vat that you don't have shishim in the vat against the yora. I mean, even though it's a funny kind of ratio, because the larger the vat, then the larger the volume of water there is in the vat. But he's saying, in terms of the blia that's in the walls of the vat, you have a massive amount of blia because of the size of the vat, and it doesn't. You can't. What's the word I want to use? There's no parallel. The word is in the tip of my tongue. But in any event, you're not going to counter that by saying that there's enough water to have shishim against the entire yora. It's closer to my nesorvi also my kelim shenigol tochen. Now you have a very serious problem, because if there's a vat that's so large, and after that, and it's saturated with tam chametz, and now after you heat up the vat in order to start the process of agola, you don't have shishim in the water of this large vat connected to the blia, so you have a blias chametz, and again it's after shas isuro in that saturated, penetrated into the water. Now every moment that you put, every time you put in another kli to be magil, it's going to be boleh from the tam isur. And therefore, what you're going to need is hagola on this large vat before you even begin the process of hagola. Again, this is all after shas isuro. V'gamla basof liachar hagola is called a kelim. Oh, now he would. Oh, he wants to reuse it for more hagola. Shrotzalash lishtavish by yora. Oh, by yora. He wants to use the vat for Pesach. Right, over the course of Pesach, tzorch lahagila shenis shetaflit min agola nivloa b'tocha, because again there was a massive amount of kelim that he was magil in this vat. Mashenk, all this is problematic during Pesach or after Shas Nisuro, after the fifth hour. Mashenk in magil kelim kodem zman Nisuro ain tzorch lahagila yoret b'tchila. Does no sintam bar no sintam dehet teira kanal. Wow, so on both sides. I get this question every single year. What keli should I use for agol? And the answer is, I couldn't care less. It doesn't bother me, because
as long as it's not after the fifth hour.
If as long as Torah Shasi Suro, then all the chametz that's inside the kli is not chametz. It's a teira. And therefore, even if it'll go into the water and then from the water into the kli, it's not barnat the teira. Is therefore ain't sort lahagila yor betchila. Now again, the same thing should apply by sof. Does he spell that out? Oh, then sort lahagila basof. Why is that? Let's just think. He wrote
something. Because now.
Oh, it's after zvanisa.
Yeah.
If it's after zvanisa. So again, if you start your hagola and end your hagola before shas isa, you don't have to be magila kli. Neither before that goal nor after that goal.
Right.
Just 1 second. Something's fishy over here. Wait a minute. The kli itself.
He's saying after.
Yeah. No. Just there's something missing over here. Okay. Fine. But if he doesn't want to use it, then he doesn't need Hagola. But wait a minute, let's say he wants to use it and it's Kodim Zman Isuro, he still needs Hagola. Yeah, that's clear. He still needs Hagola. You can't just tell a person the following. It's Kodim Shas Isuro, and therefore you don't need Hagola before, you don't need Hagola in the large event before Hagola, nor do you need it after Hagola, after the Hagola. That's not true. Right? Let's just go over this. You won't need Hagola in the larger vat before you start the process of Hagil. But if you want to use this vat during Pesach, you're going to need Hagola on the vat. It's been used for chametz, right? So what he means here is to tell you that if that's clear. Okay, Rav Osi, so let's make a note of where we got up to, because this is a gigantic sif. We're only about halfway through. Anybody have a pencil? Osher, you have a pencil I can borrow? I'll give it right back. I try, if I can, to avoid using a pen, even though it really makes no difference. It's just purely psychological. But all right, so we're up to the Mishnah Brura number Yud Aleph. Okay, Mishnah Brura number Yud Aleph, which is this Ramah over here. And that's on page 90. So here's your pencil back. And we still have a little bit left over in Tufnun Aleph. So we'll see when we can fill that in. I'm eager to get to the laws of Leil HaSeder. The only problem is that before we get to the laws of Seder, he has a whole book almost on the laws of matzah, of how to prepare matzah and so forth. So we'll have to make a quick decision here, because we won't be able to do both the laws of preparing matzah and the laws
of preparing to bake in the act of baking.
No, he goes way beyond, before baking. He's talking about the wheat that's growing in the field.
Okay. Right.
And then he's going to talk about what water you can use after you make the kemach into flour. And then he's going to talk about the lisha process. And it just goes on and on. I mean, Mamish, literally a whole book here on preparing matzah. And then, in addition to matzah, which is not chametz, he has another whole section of the book about preparing what's called matzah's mitzvah for that first kizayis. That's also so again, I never got a chance to learn these halachos, which I'd love to, but I don't think we're going to have time to do that unless we decide
you need a yurt to do this.
Yeah, the other option would be, if you want to fast forward here to the laws of the Leil HaSeder, let's see where we can pick that up.
To me, it's interesting.
You know what? Even before we get to the Leil HaSeder, he's got a whole discussion about doing any malach on Erev Pesach after Chatzos Hayom. That's another whole section here. Oh, then he has a whole section on the Tainis Bechor, you know, to see Masecht and all that. All right, then the question of what you're allowed to eat on Erev Pesach. And then he finally starts the Leil HaSeder on Tough Iron Base. That's on page 158.
You're not making it. You're not going
to
make it.
No, so that's why I say, if you leave it to my discretion, maybe we'll fast forward to 158.
You made the choice.
Because I'd love to start learning about Dalit Gosos and then save
it. Truth be told, I don't. Again, that's a very personal thing.
Yeah.
We haven't kosher anything for Pesach, I don't know how many years.
Right.
After a while, we have it all, right? You don't have to use any of the stuff from Berlin.
Right.